Good morning and welcome to our service, and a special welcome to any visitors that we have with us this morning. Following the service, tea, coffee will be served in the hall at the back of the church, and there's a tradecraft stall there as well. The intimations are printed on the order of service. However, there are a couple of others that I need to draw your attention to, or a couple I want to draw your attention to, and a couple of others. The first of which is that there is a session meeting following Sunday worship on the 28th of August at 12 o'clock here in the sanctuary. That will be a quick session meeting, 12 o'clock, Sunday, the 28th of August. Now, the first one is that I've been asked to thank those who attended the strawberry tea yesterday, and £650 was raised for Archway. There will be another strawberry tea, and I think it's leprosy mission on next Saturday. In connection with the MBC festival, there is a calligraphy exhibition, and that's going to be held here in the sanctuary, but it's starting just before the MBC festival. So it starts on the 18th. So it's the 18th, the 19th, and the 20th, 10 until 4, and you can pop in at any time. Irene Patterson has asked me to mention the Century of Hymns. There is an intimation about that. There are two bits of information missing. One, it's the 3rd and 4th of September. And just to stress that volunteers are required, and there's a list through in the hall for you to sign up for that, to man the church during that period. Paul Ray has asked me to mention that he is doing a magic show in the Kirk Centre, and that is at 7:30. Tickets can be collected from the hub, and I'm afraid you'll have to get a ticket to find out when it is, because I managed not to write that down. Paul is doing a magic show. It's in the hub. I'm sure that on the tickets it will say when it is, but it will be during the MBC festival, I'm pretty certain. Ewan's on holiday, and I'm pleased to welcome Professor Peter Gray to lead us in worship today. Peter is a reader in the Church of Scotland. Peter, welcome to Coltskirk.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be back again. It's a while, I think, but very nice, especially on such a nice sunny morning. Opening hymn number 482, Come Let Us to the Lord Our God, hymn 482.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Father, we come before you in this your house to worship you. For you are our Maker, the giver of light and life, the very source of our being. We worship you too in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to live amongst us so that we could picture you and know you more intimately. And lastly, we worship you in the person of your Holy Spirit, forever prompting us and teaching us how to grow in your ways. O most holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord, most high. We do not come before you, Lord, in our own strength, but by your invitation. We are not worthy to pick up the crumbs under your table, but your mercy bids us come. We know we may have sinned in this past week. We know there were things we should have done which we didn't do. We know we have let you down in various ways. We have not always thought and acted as your true sons and daughters. The memory of these sins separates us from you, and we repent ever having done them. Help us, Lord, to accept that we've failed, and in accepting that, also to know your forgiveness, which is offered freely to all who truly repent. Lord, we pray you to wash us free of the stain of sin and make us new people, ready to start again. Brethren, be assured that our forgiveness is guaranteed by the saving act of the Lord Jesus. Let us know again the joy of the resurrection, the Easter message of the empty tomb. Our Lord is risen. No chains can hold him. Where he goes, we shall follow, even to the gates of paradise. Let us see all around us, in each new primary school child, in each new communicant, the promise of new life in his Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the fruits of the earth and our enjoyment of them. We thank you for great sportsmen and women, for the cricketers, the golfers, the Olympic athletes, and for the footballers in our favourite teams. We thank you for the inspiration and uplift that they give us. We thank you, Lord, for musicians, for our choir and our organist, for the joy of music and hymns and all that they mean to us. We thank you for peaceful sights and sounds, for quiet glens in the hills with flowers bursting forth, and for the calm and peace this brings to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for all these offerings of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We now sing hymn 544, When I Needed a Neighbour. Hymn 544.
I was told I was naked where you were. Our first reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. The request of James and John. Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Teacher, they said, there is something we want you to do for us. What is it? Jesus asked them. They answered, when you sit on your throne in your glorious kingdom, we want you to let us sit with you, one on your right and one on your left. Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking for. Can you drink the cup of suffering that I must drink? Can you be baptized in the way I must be baptized? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup I must drink and be baptized in the way I must be baptized. But I do not have the right to choose who will sit at my right and at my left. It is God who will give these places to those for whom he has prepared them. When the other 10 disciples heard about it, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them all together to him and said, you know that those who considered rulers of the heathens have power over them, and the leaders have complete authority. But this, however, is not the way it is amongst you. If one of you wants to be great, he must be the servant of the rest. And if one of you wants to be first, he must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life to redeem many people. Let us now worship the Lord by singing hymn 465, Be Thou My Vision.
Oh,
Our second reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. Paul's visions and revelations. I have to boast, even though it doesn't do any good. But I will now talk about visions and revelations given me by the Lord. I know a certain Christian man who 14 years ago was snatched up to the highest heaven. I do not know whether this actually happened or whether he had a vision. Only God knows. I repeat, I know this man was snatched up to paradise. Again, I do not know whether this actually happened or whether it was a vision. Only God knows. And there he heard things which cannot be put into words, things that human lips may not speak. So I will boast about this man, but I will not boast about myself, except the things that show how weak I am. If I wanted to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be telling the truth. But I will not boast, because I do not want anyone to have a higher opinion of me than he has as a result of what he has seen me do or heard me say. But to keep me from being puffed up with pride because of the many wonderful things I saw, I was given a painful physical ailment, which acts as Satan's message to beat me and keep me from being proud. 3 times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was, "My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak." I am most happy, then, to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecution, and the difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Our hymn now is number 509, "Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult," hymn 509.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My theme today is humility and service. Christian humility and the extraordinary contrast between spiritual strength and earthly weakness. Christ does not promise an easy life to his followers. He does not promise splendor and pomp, earthly riches, safety from illness, freedom from hunger, secure income. How easy it would be to win people to his cause if he did. This church would be full to overflowing even more than it is, and so would many others. No, as we heard read in the gospel lesson, recounting Jesus' encounter with James and John and their remarkable mother, he could not offer them any of the things this materialistic world so values. Indeed, for the apostles, it might well lead to martyrdom. What he did offer, though, was beyond price, a spiritual strength that overcame earthly troubles, an eternal fellowship of love and service, and life everlasting. Now, this choice, this dilemma, this great drama has been played out many times in history. And I want to look at two famous stories illustrating it. The first one is the story of St. Christopher. You probably think you know it. It comes in many versions. This particular one I read in the cloisters of Gloucester Cathedral. It's set in the Middle Ages. Christopher wanted to serve the most powerful king there was, the top man. So he entered the service of the emperor, and being a very able young man and a very brave, strong knight, he soon rose to the top. He had position and wealth, lots of servants, and could have anything money could buy. Still, he was not quite satisfied. And one day, when riding with the emperor through a dark forest, he noticed the emperor was frightened. "Who are you frightened of?" he asked. "You, who are so powerful." "I am frightened of the devil, Satan," he replied, "for he haunts this dark forest, especially at night." "Well," thought Christopher, "this is not the most powerful king after all. I will go and serve Satan." So he did. And the devil showed him all his power to make men fear him, how he could start wars and create famines and plagues from which men died. He showed him how he could drive men mad with greed so they would rob and steal and murder. Christopher was very impressed by this great show of power, but he was scared stiff of the devil and hated being with him. Then one day, when riding with the devil, he came to a place where there was a cross, and the devil shuddered and looked the other way. "Who are you frightened of?" asked Christopher. "It is nothing," said the devil, "just someone called Jesus. I had him crucified and killed a long time ago." So Christopher decided to find out about Jesus. And he met a monk who lived in a chapel near the cross. The monk told him that there was a dangerous river crossing nearby, and that if he would live near it and help people across, since he was so big and strong, then he would be serving Christ. So Christopher did as he was bid, and for several years helped people across by carrying them on his back. But he never saw Christ, and he felt dissatisfied. Then one day, a small child approached. Just as he started to carry him, the river rose in a torrent, and the child got strangely heavy. In the middle, Christopher, strong though he was, almost stumbled under the weight and the force of the water. I don't know, he said, if I can make the other side. Why are you so heavy? I am Christ, came the reply, and I am carrying the burden of the sins of the world. But do not fear. I have strength enough for both of us. And mysteriously, the flood went down and it got easier. And when they got to the other side, Christopher fell down and worshipped our Lord and became a Christian. And ever after, he served at the crossing. And when the river ever rose, he prayed to the Lord for strength and was granted it. Now, we do not know, of course, if there was a real St. Christopher, but you can buy medals of him with pictures of him carrying the Christ child. And the name Christopher, of course, means Christ bearer. I rather like the story because it shows up once again this great contrast between earthly power and spiritual power. There are many who choose power and riches, work hard to get wealthy or get the top position in an organization. There are others who go the devil's way and aim to murder and rob and get satisfaction that way out of frightening others. But Christopher had the courage to choose a third way, that of serving others and worshiping Christ despite the poverty. Now, perhaps I'd better say that it is not wrong in principle to want power, especially if you want to use it to serve others. I'm reminded of the famous words of Winston Churchill in his memoirs. On that crucial moment, becoming Prime Minister at the start of World War II, power for its own sake is rightly deemed base, but power in a crisis, when you know what to do, is a blessing. My last story is about a modern saint, a missionary in China just before the war, Gladys Aylward. It's a short story, but it illustrates another facet of Christian humility relating to our second reading. The story of Gladys Aylward is extraordinary. Starting life as a housemaid in London, she saved up money from her small wages to go all the way to China in 1920 by rail and steamer. She travelled to a remote part that few men would visit, let alone a woman. And there she ran a hostel, an inn, that was called in the film that was made of it, The Inn of the Sixth Happiness. She gradually won the confidence of the people and lived as one of them in considerable hardship, preaching the gospel. And then came the war and the Japanese invaded. And I'm going to read a paragraph from a famous book, The Small Woman. And it describes how she felt as Japanese troops advanced up the valley towards her house. She ran to the front gate. She did not know what to do. She only knew she must stop them, even to the extent of going out and fighting them with her bare hands. If she appeared by herself, perhaps the sight of a so-called foreign devil in such an unusual place might occupy their attention for a time. Perhaps they would forget the others. The outside door was solid, the latch of heavy iron, and as she got to it, her courage ebbed away. She leant against the door, turning so that her back was braced against it for support. Her clenched hand went to her heart to try and stop its pounding. For perhaps 10 seconds, she stood there in a vacuum of weakness, fear, and indecision, reaching with desperate mental agony for strength. And then, into the confusion of her mind, with the clarity of an articulate voice, burst the phrase, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." She stood up straight, and the feeling of panic seeped away from her. She turned, depressed the latch, swung open the heavy door, and stepped out into the bright sunshine. Abruptly aware of Wan Yu's piping voice from the balcony behind her, "Ai Wei Da, they've turned back. They're going down the valley. They're going away." "My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you." That wonderful phrase which we heard read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In that reading, you may remember, St. Paul just listed all the sufferings he'd been through for Christ. Shipwrecks, hunger, thirst, cold. And yet, he says, "When I am tempted to boast that it is I, Paul, who have done all these things, and done more than the apostles, God reminds me that it is at times that I am weak that I am strongest. For then people can see that I have the strength of God's Spirit to help me when my own spirit will not carry me on." And the lesson of St. Christopher, of St. Paul, and of Gladys Aylward is that God comes to our help when we are at our weakest, when we're fully stretched out and finally convinced we're not strong enough. Then he comes with power. But he will not let us think the power is ours or that we can have it for the asking. And I think so often in the Christian life, when we decide to serve God, we're tempted to do it in our strength alone. God needs our strength, but he can do so much more in combination. Some of you may remember Rex Chapman, a former chaplain at Aberdeen University, and he put this very well in a book of meditations, a kind of praying, sort of dialogue with God. "I want my own way, Lord, even though it may coincide with yours. I want control. I want to be able to love my neighbor and feel that I am the source of the love." To all this, God replies, "Your strength is not enough. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you." May the Lord bless these words, and to his name be the praise and the glory. Our offerings for the work of the church will now be received. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to accept and bless this offering for the work of your church. And here we offer and present not just our money, but ourselves, our souls and bodies to work for the sake of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now make our prayers of intercession to Almighty God. O Lord Jesus Christ, whose victory on the cross has opened up the gate to everlasting life, we pray together for the coming of your kingdom in the hearts of men and women, that people may see the futility of war and violence and end their quarrels. We pray for those who are caught up in the suffering. We think particularly of the Palestinians in Israel, the Christian Arabs in the Middle East, and the people in Syria, particularly in Aleppo. We pray for the children who are homeless or injured or who have lost their parents. We pray for relief agencies working to help them and relieve the suffering, and for anyone we know who is out there and in danger. We pray for our new Prime Minister, our First Minister, and others in high office, and all those who are elected to lead us. We pray for our elected MPs that they may behave with integrity and respect at this challenging time for our country, so that we may recover faith in our electoral processes and in our Parliament. We pray for the regrowth of our ancient Christian faith in our land. We pray particularly for our young people, many of whom have not experienced the power of your word or understood what it is that you offer. So many have fallen under the spell of material things and lost their moral compass. They do not know where to turn. Lord, we pray for the efforts of the street pastors and the Salvation Army and individual parish workers to reach out to them. Lord, have mercy and bless their efforts. We pray for our minister, Ewan Gilchrist, that he may return to us refreshed and renewed. We pray too for any of our friends or relatives that are on holiday, that they too may enjoy the time away and return safely. We pray for those struggling to make ends meet with part-time work, for those who are unemployed and getting disheartened, and for the big issue sellers. We pray for friends and contacts who will help them believe in themselves and get going again. Lastly, we pray for ourselves and for those who are sick or in hospital or recently bereaved. We pray for those who are in pain that you may comfort them. We pray for those worn out in caring that you will restore them. We pray for those who work in hospitals and GP surgeries under increasing stress, that you will sustain them. And lastly, we pray for those who are near to death and those recently bereaved, and the faithful departed whom they mourn, and commend them to your love. We pray for all these and name them before you in our hearts, in the silence. all these prayers and petitions, let us gather up together in the words that our Lord himself has taught us, saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 694, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, hymn 694. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us, now and always.